right. So we're going to ask tonight whether or not it's possible to always think about Krishna. And this deals, if we're going to look at the Ashtanga Yoga process, this deals with jhana and samadhi, or real, actual focus and absorption. Now, I should make the point that this seminar is not about meditating on Krishna during our regular sadhana time. This is about meditation on Krishna other than during our sadhana time. So this is not about japa and kirtan and Gayatri and Bhagavatam class. It's about how do I meditate on Krishna in my life, when I'm at work, when I'm going to school, when I'm in my home, and so forth. All right, so what I'd like us to do, first of all, this is an interactive workshop. This is actually not a lecture. So if you just came here to be entertained and you didn't want to be involved, you're probably in the wrong presentation. All right. And I know on a weekday in the evening, many times people just want to be entertained. All right, so I'd like us to right now, first of all, everybody, if you could just relax. Just relax. Take a nice deep breath. And another nice deep breath. All right, I'd like you to go through your day backwards in half-hour increments. So it's now about 7:15. So from 7 to 6:30, 6:30 to 6, 6 to 5:30, 5:30 to 5, what were you thinking about? And see if you can go all the way to when you woke up this morning. All right? So mentally go backwards through your day, half an hour at a time. What were you thinking about? Okay. So during the day today, how many of you at some times thought about food? How many of you thought about food? How many of you sometime during the day thought about money? How many thought about some relationship in this world that you have with somebody in this world? How many thought of you about some choices you need to make? Do I need to do this? Do I need to do that? Should I go here? Should I go there? How many of us thought about the suffering of somebody that we are attached to? Some suffering that somebody's going through? How many of us thought sometime about Krishna and his associates and his pure devotees? Okay. Now we can think about, like, kind of what percentage of the day we were thinking about these different topics. How much of our day so far today we were thinking about Krishna. And you don't have to say, but if you can just consider for a minute, other than your sadhana, how much of the day were you thinking about Krishna and his associates, or were you thinking about these other things? So as you know, sadhana bhakti, we're supposed to be always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him, but maybe we think our mind is kind of like this. So in order to remember Krishna always, we have to be able to see Krishna in everything that we do. I think for many of us, we have our japa time, our sadhana time, where we're really focused on Krishna, we're trying to really focus on Krishna. And the rest of the time, we hardly even try. We're just like, okay, I'm thinking about this and thinking about that. So here we're going to look at how we can remember Krishna in the ordinary things of our life. So Srila Prabhupada, in his purport in Bhagavad Gita 18.9, he says, a man working in Krishna consciousness in a factory does not associate himself with the work of the factory, nor with the workers of the factory. He simply works for Krishna. And when he gives up the result for Krishna, he is acting transcendentally. So Prabhupada is saying here, rather astonishingly, that even if you're working in a factory, you can be thinking about Krishna and working for Krishna. Now, this is one of my favorite purports. It's to Bhagavad Gita 12.2. I'm sure you may recognize this, one of your Guru Maharaj's painting, picture from one of your Guru Maharaj's books, the Madhava Priya did. So Prabhupada, in this purport, he says, sometimes he chants, sometimes he hears or reads books about Krishna, or sometimes he cooks prasadam, or goes to the marketplace to purchase something for Krishna, or sometimes he washes the temple or the dishes. Whatever he does not let a single moment pass without devoting his activities to Krishna. Such action is in full samadhi. Right? Now, generally, when we think of samadhi, we think about somebody sitting motionless with their eyes closed. And in Asanga Yoga, before you can achieve samadhi, you have to achieve pratyahara and dhanana, right? So pratyahara means that you lose awareness of the external sense objects. And we see this, of course, it happens to us in deep sleep without going into samadhi. But like Shamakarishi, when Maharaj Parikit came to Shamakarishi's home, Shamakarishi was in samadhi, and so he wasn't aware of Maharaj Parikit entering. Or the same with Daksha and Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was in samadhi, and he wasn't aware that Daksha was there. So we think about samadhi like that, that a precursor to samadhi is pratyahara, where one loses awareness of the external world. But Prabhupada is saying, sometimes he cooks prasadam in samadhi. So if you had that kind of samadhi, could you cook? Could you cook? No, it would be very dangerous, in fact. He said, sometimes he goes to the marketplace to purchase something for Krishna. Could you drive your car to the store if you were in that kind of samadhi, like Shamakarishi? Is that possible? Washing the temple? So why is Srila Prabhupada saying that when cooking for Krishna, when washing the temple, when driving to the market, one is in samadhi? So let's look at the four main systems of yoga, bhakti, jnana, karma, and dhyana. Of course, sometimes there's a combination of this. So I'd like us to think about these. What does samadhi mean in each of these systems of yoga? And how does one obtain samadhi? So, of course, in jnana yoga, it's mechanical. We were talking about this last night, how the human body is designed, that if you sit in a certain way and you breathe in a certain way, that you will go into a state of samadhi. And in jnana yoga, people go into samadhi intellectually through becoming detached philosophically. In karma yoga, by giving up the fruits of their work. In bhakti, through emotional attachment. So I'd like us just to take a minute, and maybe 5 minutes. So if you can work with one or two people next to you, and please discuss with each of these types of yoga, what does samadhi mean, and how does one obtain it? So not more than four people together. If you can just turn to somebody next to you, three or four people. Okay, so what did you come up with? Can someone tell me, for jnana yoga, what does samadhi mean? Anybody want to suggest, what does samadhi mean for jnana yoga? Yes. Well, that's the precursor. That's pratyahara. That's not samadhi. To see the supersoul. Okay. To be absorbed in the supersoul. And how does one attain samadhi by in Dhyan Yoga? Okay, and how does that work? Dhyana. And what is the means? It's working with the body and mind, yeah? And what you're doing is you're mechanically making the mind still. So yam niyam, that's to bring you to sattvagun, right? And then pratyahara, you're removing your mind from external awareness. Dharana, you're holding the form of the supersoul in your mind. Dhyana, you're flowing with that, and samadhi, you're absorbed in that. Okay, what about in Gyan Yoga? What does samadhi mean in Gyan Yoga? Yes, but what does samadhi mean? That's the process. Brahmajyoti, yes, usually Brahmajyoti. Yeah? Usually. Yes, realizing you are nothing material and realizing the Brahman. And you do that through gaining knowledge. And what does gaining knowledge give you? Well, it gives you the Brahman, which is in one sense Krishna, but not directly Krishna. You get knowledge that you're not this body, and what does that gaining knowledge in philosophy do for you? It gives you what? It gives you something. Detachment. So by studying philosophy, science, knowledge, you get detachment. And from that detachment, you learn, I am not this, I am not this, I am not this, I am not this. And then Brahman becomes realized. All right, what about in Karma Yoga? What does samadhi mean in Karma Yoga? Well, if it's meant for satisfying Krishna, then it's going to be bhakti yoga. Because bhakti uses karma, gyan, and dhyan. In bhakti, we have action, we have philosophy, and we have meditation. But karma yoga as a separate kind of yoga, yeah? Yes, but how exactly? You give up the fruits of your activity. What do you give the fruits of your activity to? Krishna would be bhakti. To a transcendental goal, to your purpose for liberation, yes. And how does that work? God knows. He does know, and he tells us. God knows. Smart aleck here. This what a smart aleck you are. You know what a smart aleck is? You can look it up. Yes, God knows. And what does God say? No, just looking at karma yoga. Just consider nishkam karma yoga. I mean, Krishna doesn't talk about sakam karma yoga and nishkam karma yoga in the Bhagavad Gita. Hmm? Higher plans is not samadhi. That's karma. Yes, you get a detachment. Krishna says you get peace. 12th chapter Bhagavad Gita. He says, karma palatyaga, when you renounce the fruits of your work, you get peace. Which is a little different than the detachment of gyan. Okay? Detachment of gyan, you say, I don't care anymore. In karma yoga, what you're attaining is peace. You basically stop the striving. Because in this world, we're always working to enjoy something. So in karma yoga, you don't enjoy what you do anymore. You do it just for the purpose of salvation. Right? And so you become peaceful because you no longer care whether you get some particular result or not. It's a kind of detachment, but it's a little different. So their means is by giving up the fruits for the purpose of salvation. In other words, you're saying, I'm earning my livelihood just because that is the rule of the universe. And if I follow the rule of the universe, I will attain salvation. I am being nice to my wife because that is the rule of the universe. And if I follow the rule of the universe, then I will attain salvation. What does a person like that realize? What kind of samadhi do they attain? Can be Brahmajyoti. Often it's the universal form. Because when you're working in karma yoga, you're working according to varnashram as part of the universal body. But see, someone in karmakanda, they're doing varnashram so they can go to the heavenly planets. So they can enjoy in this world and they can go to the heavenly planets. That's karma. That's the desire for bhakti. Whereas in karma yoga, one is not trying to go to the heavenly planets. One is not trying to enjoy now. But one is trying to relate to the Lord as the universal form, or sometimes the Brahmajyoti. All right, what about in bhakti yoga? What does samadhi mean? That's just another Sanskrit word. Can you explain what it means? All right, well, that's the means. But what is some... Always remembering the personality of Krishna, being absorbed in remembrance. And how does one do that? What's the means? There's nine devotional processes, but what's the main means? Well, that's the goal. That's part of the means and the goal, chanting, yes. But what's still the main means? Of total absorption in Krishna, yeah. Well, everybody here wants to please him. In all of these kinds of yoga, there has to be some mood of pleasing the Supreme. It must be, otherwise they're not yoga. Yeah? Yes, emotional attachment. When you're saying devotional service, someone said that, the main key is devotion. So it's mostly through emotional attachment. So through Jnana Yoga, the main means is mechanical. You are mechanically changing how the machine of the body and mind work. Through Jnana, it's mostly through detachment by studying philosophy, science, knowledge. Through Karma Yoga, it's mainly through the peace that you get from not trying to enjoy the fruits. Through Bhakti, it's mostly through emotional attachment. And generally, in Karma Yoga, one realizes the universal form. In Jnana Yoga, the Brahmajyoti. In Jnana Yoga, Paramatma. And in Bhakti, one realizes Bhagavan, generally speaking. So when we're talking about emotional attachment, we can think about the story of Kali, a serpent. So Prabhupada writes, out of their great affection for Krishna and being unaware of the extent of his potencies, they became overwhelmed with grief and anxiety because they had nothing dearer than Krishna, and because they had dedicated their everything, life, property, affection, mind, and activities to Krishna. So all of us tend to be mentally absorbed wherever we have emotional attachment. Yes? Which is very much connected, as we were talking last night, with our identity. So, who I think I am dictates where I have emotional attachment. And that's what I will think about. I'll think about my family because I have some attachment to my family. I'm part of my family. My family will make me happy. I will make my family happy. Right? Or I'm attached to my money because I'm thinking if I have money, I'll be able to buy what I want and I'll be happy. Or I'm thinking about my things, my house, my car, my phone. I was at a program a few weeks ago where one of the devotees had lost her phone and she was crying for an hour. And I was thinking, I wonder how long I would cry if I lost my phone. Why? Because we're thinking, you know, with this phone, with my car, with my house, I can fulfill my desires. So we have emotional attachment. And if we went through what we thought about during the day, anything we really meditated on, it would be something that we had some emotional attachment to. That we'll think, I need this, or I need this to fulfill my needs. Like, I need money, that way I can eat, that way I can sleep safely, that way I can have some status, whatever. So our idea in bhakti yoga is I see that Krishna is everything to me. Krishna is my shelter. Krishna is the way I'm going to get all of my needs met. And therefore, my emotional attachment is to Krishna. Of course, having that depends on having the identity that I am a soul. If I have the identity that I am this body, it becomes very difficult. Then when we'll have attachment to Krishna as a means to an end, then it becomes bhukti and mukti. You know, I'm attached to Krishna so he will give me a happy family. I am attached to Krishna so he will give me money. I am attached to Krishna so he will take away my suffering. You understand? So if I'm thinking I am this body, I am this identity, I'm not really attached to Krishna. I'm really attached to other things, and I'm using Krishna for those other things. Does everybody follow that? That's not exactly bhakti. That's really bhakti contaminated by bhukti or mukti. But pure bhakti, I'm attached to Krishna for Krishna. I'm not attached to Krishna because he's going to give me something. I'm attached to him just because I understand I'm a part of him. And that he is everything for me. Not that he's going to give me something in my false identity. I'd like us to think for a moment about what activities we do in bhakti, and this could include our sadhana, that make us feel most attached to Krishna. Because if we don't have some emotional attachment to Krishna, the other things I'm going to talk about will remain just on the intellectual platform. If we stay on the intellectual platform, what kind of yoga are we doing? Gyan yoga. We're not really doing bhakti yoga. Okay? And if we stay on the physical platform, what yoga are we doing? Karma yoga, generally. Everybody clear about that? Yeah? Okay. So I'd like us to think about, what do we do? What activity do you do? You just think to yourself, that really makes you feel emotionally attached to Krishna. Maybe it's when you read the books. Maybe it's when you hear the books. Maybe it's when you talk to some other devotee about Krishna. Maybe it's your japa. Maybe when you worship your own deities or you worship the deities here. Maybe when you go out on Harinam, maybe in a kirtan. Maybe when you're doing some activity for Krishna, like you're cooking for Krishna, or you're, bless you, or you're distributing prasadam for Krishna, or you're cleaning the temple. So we could just think for a minute, what activity do I do that really makes me get some emotional attachment for Krishna? There's an echo. That's very strange. Did everybody think of at least one thing? I got people here around. Did everybody think of at least, everybody got at least one thing? Yes? Do you need more time or everybody got one thing? Okay. So now I'd like you to take just a minute, take at least one thing and make a plan. How, let's see, today is Wednesday. So make a plan for the next few days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, how you can do that thing either more in quantity or more in quality or both. Something that you'll actually do. Don't make some plan that is some ideal for when you're a pure devotee. Okay? In 50 years, I will do this plan. No. A plan that you can do starting maybe tonight or at least starting by tomorrow morning. So pick one of those things. Did everybody come up with something? Or do you need more time? Everybody come up with something?
Yeah?
You people behind the pillar? You come up with something? Okay. And it's very important to be checking ourselves in bhakti. Am I becoming more attached to Krishna? And to make sure that every day, at least once in a day, we're really focusing on some kind of activity that increases our attachment to Krishna. And that's not going to be the same for everybody. No, we each have certain things that really help us feel attached to Krishna. All right. Now, taking that feeling, we're going to start looking at the things of the world and how they can spark remembrance of Krishna. So, of course, Krishna says, I am the light of the sun. So, right now, we do have some electric lights here, but we also have the sunlight is coming in the window. Even though it's late in the day, still this room is mostly illuminated by the sun, isn't it? Maybe somebody turn off the light. Let's turn off the artificial light for a minute. Okay. Can everybody notice how much sunlight there is still in the room? Can you notice the sunlight in the room? Okay. Let's meditate on how is that Krishna? Can we try to feel that Krishna is here in the light? Okay, you can turn the light back on. He also says he is the light of the moon. When we see the moon, we can think about, of course, how Lord Nityananda's lotus feet are like millions of moons, how Krishna likes to dance with the gopis in the moonlight, how the moon gives the juice of life to vegetables. He said he's the taste in water. And this is not only water, but actually everything we taste, that taste is actually Krishna. So if we could remember, I don't think it's that hard, if we can remember the last time we drank water, what does that taste like and how that is Krishna? Or something we ate today and how that taste is Krishna. He says he's the heat in fire. So we have warmth in this room. Yes? Nobody's wearing very warm clothes because there's warmth in this room. There's warmth coming from our bodies. That heat is Krishna. So if we can become aware for a minute of how there's warmth in the room, the heat, and how that feeling of heat is Krishna. And he says, of seasons, he is flower-bearing spring. So we know it's so wonderful in the spring. The trees start flowering. Yes? So if we can get a little picture of all the trees going into flower, and how Krishna is saying, that is him. The fragrance, the beauty, the softness of the flowers, the freshness of the new season. And Krishna says he is the ability in human beings. So here we have somebody with some yogic ability. But any of our ability, or right now everyone here is sitting. So that is some ability to be able to sit. We are able to hear. We are able to think. We are able to see. So to become aware of one's own abilities, even as we're doing right now, what ability do I have right now? I'm not falling over. That ability is Krishna. And Then Krishna says, of pure fires, I am the wind, but I don't think we have any wind right now. So most religions describe God as a supreme father. So it may, it's not any surprise that Krishna says that he is also the father. Right? Krishna says, I am the mother, the father, and the grandsire. Namaste. So during the day, we are seeing so many fathers, yes? Does everybody see some father during the day? Or you may think about your father, or you may be a father. We may even see some animal fathers. Someone get them some cushions and... So certainly throughout our day, we may see, you know, animal fathers, human fathers. We may have interaction with our own father. We may be a father. And immediately we can remember that Krishna is a supreme father. All right, we have a list here of all of the ways in which Krishna says, not all, but most, that he is manifest in the world. Some of these we've talked about a little bit. I'd like to take one of them, and we've been meditating on these a bit, but I'd like to take one of these and analyze it a little bit. So if we say, we said that I am the light of the sun and the moon. Actually, Krishna also says he is the light in all luminous objects, which would mean even your smartphone. So how is it that Krishna is the light? So light, of course, enables us to see. It enables us to know. In the same way, Krishna enables us to see and to know. Light is very much connected with festivals and celebration. In every culture of the world, there's at least one festival that is associated with light, decorating with lights or fireworks. So Krishna, as the light, he is full of celebration and festivals. If we are going to have a guest come to our home, we turn on the light to welcome them. In a similar way, Krishna is very welcoming. So these are just some ways in which seeing ordinary light or seeing the light from the sun and the moon can immediately have us remember the qualities and the nature of Krishna. All right, what I would like you to do again is work with the person next to you, up to three or four people. Pick one of these, and how can one of these tomorrow or tonight or right now spark remembrance in you of Krishna? We talked about it in terms of the Father, and we talked about it in terms of light. So if you can work with somebody, like you did before, work with somebody next to you, pick one of these, and discuss how this can help you remember Krishna. Any one of these. Do you two speak English? Do you speak English? Okay. Just pick one. Would anybody like to discuss which one they picked? How to find the divine in the mundane? Yes.
He's the dearmost friend.
The dearmost friend. So what was your way, how could you meditate on the divine through that? Okay, so to see everything in your life is ultimately good, as the example of friendship. Okay. We could also say, whenever I see any friendship in this world, whenever I see anyone who's exhibiting friendship, I can remember that the divine is friendly. Can remind me. Yeah. Compassionate, friendly. Anybody else want to share? Ability in all living beings, and what was your thought on that?
How to see Krishna in different abilities of people and to admire that, and also to know that he's within my heart as well.
Okay, so to see Krishna and the abilities of different people and admire, this ability they have, it's actually manifestation of the divine. Excellent. Anybody else? No? And of course, we can always be in meditation and samadhi through chanting at any time of the day, whether we're chanting out loud or in our mind. And it is very possible, no matter what one is doing, even if one has a job or going to school or taking care of a family or whatever, that we can be on meditation through the mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And again, it's chanting not just mechanically, but chanting with absorption and with attachment. Right? Another way to become absorbed in the samadhi of bhakti yoga, even during the day, is to remember the form of Krishna. So, of course, we have the deities, the murtis, and we have the murti worship so we can remember the form of the Lord during the day. But I'm sure each of us has some favorite picture or some favorite murti of Krishna, yes? I was talking with one devotee, and she said to me, I'm part of this temple and we have the deities of such and such, but I like to meditate on Radharaman. Is that okay? And I said, yes, that's fine. So I'd like each of us to think for a moment of the favorite form of Krishna. What is our favorite form? Can you picture that in your mind? So just like an ordinary person at a job, they have a photograph of their wife or their husband or their children, and they're remembering, I'm working for my family. I don't know, nowadays maybe people just have a picture of their dog. So in the same way, we can have physically and mentally that we can remember the form of Krishna. And in this way, we can be again in this samadhi even while acting in the world. Then we have many of the qualities of Krishna. Here we see Krishna as charming, Dira Lalita. We see Krishna as the hero, Dira Datta. So here we have the different qualities of Krishna. Can someone suggest how they experience some of these qualities in their daily life? Pick one quality, and if you can suggest, how do you experience in your daily life that Krishna is manifesting this quality? Yes. Very artistic, that we can see the art in this world. Yes, the sunset, sunrise, nature, the art of nature. Okay? Someone else? Some quality of Krishna that we can remember while we're in the world. Yes? Most powerful. And how would you remember that?
The sun.
The powerful sun rising. Okay. Someone else? Yes? Very gentle. And how do you experience that? Oh, I like that so much. That Krishna is touching us with the warmth of the sun. But it's a very gentle warmth, isn't it? Generally. Sometimes it's a little heavy, but... Yes. So when do you experience that in your daily life in the world? Whenever you hear music, very nice. Very nice. Whenever you hear music, you can think that Krishna is the most attractive musician. Okay. So this is something we can practice, to have the things in our life remind us of these qualities of Krishna. And then, of course, we have the different lila. Krishna's various lilas, the lilas of the devotees. So, I mean, when I read these stories in the Shastra and the scriptures, there are some of these pastimes that I would like to see. Huh? Do you have some pastime you'd like to see? Like, I'd really like to see the battle between Krishna and Arjuna. I don't think I'd like to be in the battle. No. Karna, did I say Krishna? Karna, sorry, thank you. I'm tired. Between Karna and Arjuna. So I'd really like to see the battle between Karna and Arjuna. I don't think I'd like to be in it, but I'd like to see it. And I'd really like to see Varaha avatar. I always wanted to see Varaha, how he comes out of Brahma's nose and takes up the whole sky, and I just think that would be so cool. And in Mahaprabhu's pastimes, I'd like to see when Jagannanda Pandit brings back the pilu fruit from Vrindavan, and some of the devotees know how to eat it and some of them don't, and they eat the seed and it's spicy. So I'd like to see that pastime of Mahaprabhu. I'd like to see Krishna dancing on Kaliya. So one time when I went to the festival in Russia, at the end of the festival, they had a dance performance at night, and the dancers were wearing clothing that had electric lights on them. And they had fireworks, real fireworks, coming out of bands on their wrists and coming out of their helmets. So while they were dancing, these fireworks were coming out and their costumes were lit up. It was really like, wow. But they told me they couldn't leave Russia because they couldn't bring their equipment over the border. They weren't allowed. So you have to go to Russia to see it. But anyway, when I was watching this dance, I was thinking how Krishna's dancing on Kali and Kali is spewing fire. Right? It's in the water. The heads of Kali are very slippery. And there's fire coming out of that. I'd really would like to see that dance. So I'd like you now, again, just in pairs. Just turn to the person next to you, not more than two people. And each person say one, just one, pastime of Krishna that you, or Lord Chaitanya, any avatar, that you would like to be there for, that you would like to see. Just in twos, please. Just two. So you work with him. Can you work, I don't know your name, can you work with this so we don't have three, otherwise it takes too long, and you two can work together, okay? Okay, so a suggestion that each day, either before you go to sleep or first thing in the morning, to pick one way that during the day that you're going to say, okay, I'm going to think about how Krishna is manifest, how the divine is manifest in the ordinary, to meditate on at least one of Krishna's names, a particular form, some quality I'm going to look for in my life, or some pastimes. So this is the way to achieve dhyana and samadhi through bhakti yoga outside of our regular sadhana meditation time. So I've seen that many of our teachers in the Hare Krishna movement, they give us a lot of instruction. How can we meditate during our meditation time? During our mantra time, right? During our study time, during our worship time, how can we do that more meditatively? But many times what will happen is people will say, okay, I'm having my time for meditation, but then the rest of the day I'm absorbed in a materialistic way. I mean, one of my main reasons for taking up the Krishna conscious process, myself personally, is I was looking for a spiritual process where I could be spiritual all the time. I found that most systems of religion and spirituality, they have, okay, here's your time, once a day, three times a day, five times a day, once a week, whatever it is, where you're really connecting with the spiritual, and the rest of the time, oh well, too bad. And I thought, where is a way that I can actually be absorbed spiritually 24 hours a day? So, of course, there are other processes of samadhi, especially through karma yoga, gyan yoga, and dhyan yoga. And many of these processes are becoming very popular in the modern day, I'd say, especially dhyan yoga is becoming more and more popular. But our bhakti yoga process is actually the way we are already absorbed in samadhi materially, in kind of the reflection of samadhi, that our consciousness becomes absorbed where we have attachment. So whereas things like karma yoga and gyan yoga and to a large extent dhyan yoga focus on detachment from the material, attaining samadhi by detachment from the material and then absorption on the spiritual within. In bhakti yoga, we are able to have our awareness. This is very interesting, to have our awareness be on the things of the world, but to see the things of the world not in a worldly sense, but to perceive that sarva kalam idam brahma, everything is Brahman. One of my favorite lectures of Srila Prabhupada, he says three times, if one is spiritually advanced, there is no material world, there is no material world, there is no material world. That one loses the sense of duality, that here is spirit and here is matter, and one sees everything as divine. In that way, one can appear to be a person in the world doing ordinary activities, but one can be always absorbed in samadhi. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Tomorrow and Friday, I'll be doing some programs outside the temple, so I will not be giving evening classes. So the rest of the time I'm here, I'll be giving classes in the morning and then the Sunday feast. At Sunday feast, I'll be talking a little bit about my new book. So again, thank you, Hare Krishna. It's late, Prabhu, and I've already gone way over time. Any of you who weren't here before, if you're interested in my new book, I have just a couple copies here. Again, this is a novel about how to attain enlightenment, and it goes from material life to perfection in the form of a novel. So if you're interested, I have a couple copies here. Thank you.